right, when we hear that music, that means it's time to break open God's Word in the Psalms. The Sefer Telachim, or the Book of Sung Praises, the Jewish hymnal, liturgical hymnal, if you will. And love this section of that. Of course, you can listen to the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth in its own podcast, Podcast Central at EW10.com, or the way I listen, well, I don't listen to myself, but I listen to a lot of EW10 programming through the EWTN app, which is awesome, and also through, you know, Spotify and SoundCloud and iTunes or whatever you want to listen to, but download it, listen to it. I've been met some people up in Stockbridge who listen every day. So praise God. All right, today we're looking at Psalm 10. Psalm 10 is pretty long, so we're going to probably look at the first 8 verses or so, Psalm 10. Now, Psalm 10 is in Book 1 of the Psalms, Psalms 1 to 41, all of them, of course, attributed to David. And so let's dive right in. Now, David starts off this psalm with a question, right? Oh, Lord, why do you stand afar off and hide yourself in times of distress, right? Now, these are questions that we've all faced in our life, right? Especially, we're talking about Respect Life today. Again, a special Word of God Wednesday, Thursday edition. We're talking about this Sunday's readings, Respect Life Sunday. And how often, especially in this climate of our country today, the anger, the vitriol, the viciousness, the complete and utter disrespect that people have toward each other over issues of life, you know, over abortion and over in vitro fertilization and over assisted suicide and euthanasia. All these different things are part of the culture of life. And when we try to engage people so that they can understand where we're coming from as believers in Jesus Christ, as Catholics, you know, instead of, okay, let's sit down, let's talk about this. Let's try to understand each other's position. You know, there's just so much bitterness and screaming, you know. And so in the midst of that, we all ask the same question that David's asking. Lord, how come these people don't get it? You know, I mean, I know that people are away from you and their hearts are turned away from you. But it feels like, you know, that it happens so frequently. And of course, the media and everything play into all of this. It seems that, again, seems like, appears as if God is far away from us. Right? And we just ask, like, God, where are you in the midst of all of this? You know, why do you hide yourself in times of distress? The poor are devoured by the pride of the wicked. They are caught in the schemes that others have made. Right? So, you know, this culture of death is dragging this net. And sometimes we seem to get caught up in this net, especially our children, our grandchildren. You know, we send them to Catholic schools. We send them to youth group and confirmation class to learn and grow about their faith. And then they get sucked into this vacuum of the culture with the atheists and the moral relativists. And it's almost like the life of God just gets sucked right out of them, you know, and which tells me that they were never in love. I mean, they knew about their faith. They knew about Jesus, but they weren't truly deeply in love with him. Where every choice that you make, every decision is made from the heart of Jesus Christ in our Catholic faith. You know, where am I going to go to school? You know, am I going to watch this particular television show? Am I called to be a priest or religious? Those are the questions that the heart is longing for answers for. And this culture cannot give those answers. You know, at a difficult situation, a pregnancy, an unexpected pregnancy, you know, why can't we create a culture where everyone is welcomed and loved? You know, but when we try to bring these things up, we're met with anger and vitriol, you know. And sometimes if we're not strong in our faith, we can get swayed to think a different way, right? And he continues in verse 3, "For the wicked boasts of his soul's desires. The covetous blasphemes and spurns the Lord," right? Again, the anger, the vitriol, the blasphemy. For example, the blasphemy we saw at the in France at the start of the opening ceremonies for the Olympics, the blasphemy that we see where people are bragging about how many abortions that they've had. The anger, especially when you look at like I said, I don't watch television, but people do send me things on social media, which or on YouTube or something like that, and just the bitterness, and the pride. They almost seem proud of taking the life of innocent people. That's sad and that's tragic. And it continues. The wicked says in his pride, "God will not punish. There is no God." Such are his thoughts. Wow. That's powerful right there. So the wicked says, God's not going to punish. Why? Because there is no God. Why? Because I'm God. There is no God because I'm God. You know, and I often think people that are their minds and their hearts are away from even considering the fact that there could be a God, that there could be salvation and redemption. They won't even consider it. Their hearts are so turned away. Why? Because they want what they want. The universe revolves around themselves. They worship the God of me, myself, and I. You know, it's not about making a gift of yourself to someone else. It's not about sacrificing your life, your needs, your wants, your desires for the good of the other or the good of another. It's all about me. It's that selfishness and that pride that David's talking about here.
Yeah, and oftentimes when we pray, it's not so that a situation will change, but God oftentimes uses those prayers, even our own, to change our hearts so that we no longer want the thing that we once were pursuing or the thing that we thought we should have been doing with most of our life. We've been wasting that chase because he's really wanted us on a whole nother path.
Yeah, that's a good point. And we have to remember, too, that we need to pray for people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very easy to be angry, right? To give them back what they're giving us.
Yeah.
Right? Return that same anger, that same vitriol. But we can't do that. You know, we can't do that as followers of Christ. Love, patience. And again, it's hard to do when someone's in your face, when someone's yelling at you, when someone's calling you names, when you're being completely disrespected. But that's what Christ calls us to do. Like a dartboard, right? We're just standing there just taking it all the time. Mm-hmm. But to have reasons. So, for example, if someone yells at me, I like to ask questions.
Right.
You know, I like to ask questions. And they get angry because they can't answer the question. Why? Because the question is making them think. Mm-hmm. Deeply and seriously about the position that they're holding. I'm not trying to get into arguments. I'm just saying, let me just ask you a question. You know, when is it ever okay to take the life of an innocent person? Bam. Mm-hmm. Okay. See, but now they get angry because, well, it's not really a person. Of course they can't say that. They'd say that about slavery. You know, to justify slavery, they're not really human beings. You know, they're only 2/3 of a human being. Or, you know, in the Dred Scott decision in 1897, they were never thought of or spoken of except as property, talking about slaves. Of course they have to say that. Yeah. So of course they have to say that about babies in the womb. Of course they're not persons, because now we can impose our will on them without any guilt because they're not really people. You know, I mean, that's ridiculous. You know, but again, so I like to ask questions that provoke thought, that maybe may invoke a movement of the Holy Spirit in the soul of the person that's listening.
Yeah.
You know, that's all. That's really what we're called to do.
Well,
really.
And also, too, when the world is trying to tell us how we're supposed to be living and reacting to things or how we should be doing things based on their decisions, it's also a reminder of that I'm not going to compromise my character because you choose to have none. So by making the choices in my life, I'm consulting God. And when I'm at peace with that, you can yell all day. You can tell me that what I'm doing is not right, or, you know, that you don't believe in God and why would I go in that direction? But again, it's my peace. I'm the one that has to spend the rest of my life either regretting or accepting the choices that I made. So my character, I can compromise it all day by myself. I do not need your help. So to me, that's another place where we can sit in that peace when people are rah, you know, to sit back and go, I'm good. You're not going to cause me to sin in this moment and go against what I know my God is calling me to.
Yeah, amen. And David continues, again, reflecting on the person that's angry and vitriolic. His path is ever untroubled. Your judgments are on high, far removed, right? So the judgments of God are not even in the forefront of his mind, right? All those who oppose him, he derides. He thinks in his heart, never shall I falter. Never shall misfortune be my lot.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.